are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. You're with Patricia Traina, and I cover your New York Giants for a variety of places, most recently Forbes and The Athletic, where I have current articles available for your reading pleasure, if you so choose to take a look. And we are about to have our weekly Twitter Tuesday, my favorite day of the week. And again, lots of great questions came in from you guys. I really do appreciate it. Before we jump into them, though, just want to give you an overview of what to expect the rest of this week. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to have Stephen Holder, who covers the Indianapolis Colts for The Athletic Indianapolis. He's going to help me break down the Giants matchup this weekend with the Colts, who are red hot of late. Then on Thursday, Charlie Campbell of Walter Football is going to be on the program. And Charlie had some interesting insights about the draft prospects and just, you know, college football in general. Some of the prospects we talk about, or I should say you guys talk about, since I'm not really into the draft just yet. But Charlie was nice enough to give some information, and I think you're going to find that interview very, very insightful. And then, of course, on Friday, we'll do the week that was and wrap up the storylines from the week at Giants practice. So let's jump right in to your questions on this Twitter Tuesday. Okay, Michael C. asks, I believe you stated the CBA is coming to close at 2020. What are the chances the Giants redo Eli's deal and extend them one more year, lower his cap hit for 2019 and 2020? Michael, I actually wrote an article, put an article out on Forbes on this very same topic. If you Google my name, Patricia Traina, and Eli Manning, I think the title of the article is How the Giants Can Lower Eli Manning's Cap Hit, and just, you know, plug in Forbes. I think you'll find that one. I do outline, I give you an example, I show you the numbers and all that good stuff. You'll also be able to find that on my Twitter account. I'll make sure to retweet that at some point during the day on Tuesday. Let's see. This is from Eric, who wants to know, let's see, he writes, I'm a big fan of Sterling Shepard as a player, being a good blocker and doing things that don't make the stat sheet, but he hasn't been able to get open when Odell isn't playing. Even Evan Ingram has been a bit of a letdown as a receiver. Do you think the Giants need to invest in a young receiver who can get open outside, or maybe move Ingram outside as a receiver? Eric, I agree with you about Sterling Shepard. He has had some trouble getting open. And quite honestly, you know, you watch the Giant receivers other than Odell Beckham Jr., and there has been a general problem with these guys getting open. They're just not separating from the defenders. And as a result, Eli Manning has had some tighter windows to throw to than he probably should have. So I do think that's a problem. I would like to see them get another receiver in here who can get open and get, you know, separate from defenders, because, you know, you have a quarterback who generally has that gunslinger mentality and who's going to try and fit balls into tight windows. And that's a recipe for disaster. And we saw some of that in the game against the Titans, specifically the interception that Eli tried to get to Russell Shepard, but Shepard was not able to get any separation. Now, again, it doesn't mean that Eli needs to have everything perfect, but it sure would help if the other guys did their share of the bargain. And that starts with getting open, which they just have not been doing. So thanks for that question. Up next, Keith G. Actually, he gives us our last name, Jang. Keith Jang, who is a French-Canadian, wants to know, he says, I posed this question a few weeks ago on Twitter, but it got lost in the shuffle. The quarterback situation has been talked about ad nauseum, and all indications are Eli will be back next season. So I'm looking at the other side of the ball, and in particular, the free safety position. Curtis Riley has been a major disappointment disappointment and obviously isn't the solution. How should the Giants address it? A top-tier free agent like Earl Thomas or a second-round pick, et cetera, et cetera? Okay, Keith, thank you for that question. I absolutely agree that the Giants need to upgrade the free safety position. Curtis Riley, you know, and to be fair to Curtis Riley, he was a cornerback for most of his career, and he was asked to learn a new position this year. So it's kind of been touch and go, trial by error with him. Now, with that said, you just, you know, you have to be careful. You can't expect certain guys to learn on the job. And when you expect them to learn on the job, that's when you get into trouble and you end up losing games or giving up big plays and just making mistakes that you shouldn't be making. So I do think the Giants should go and get themselves a free safety. Regarding the way they go, I'm really not sure. I don't think I would spend big bucks on Earl Thomas, because remember, you've got to re-sign Landon Collins, and he's probably going to cost you a nice little pretty penny. There might be a second tier level or a third tier level free agent. I haven't looked at the free agent list yet, so I couldn't give you a name. There's also the opportunity of maybe getting a draft pick, maybe a day two or a day three type of guy. And then if I'm not mistaken, I think the Honey Badger is going to be a free agent too. But again, I think he might be kind of expensive to land. So I'm not sure getting a veteran is the way to go, unless you go with the second tier or third tier type of free agent. I think the Giants will probably look to add a draft pick to complement Landon Collins, assuming that they bring him back. And Keith, P.S., apologies for missing your question. I do get a lot of them. And just make sure, folks, as a reminder, when you do send me a question, tag them Ask P-Train, P-T-R-A-I-N, because when I go to do these Q&As, basically I pull that keyword up and or that hashtag up, and I just go down the list. So if you don't have that hashtag in your question, chances are I'm not going to see it, because I do get a lot of mentions, and I want to make sure I get to as many of your questions as I possibly can. Okay, Jeff C. wants to know, unfortunately, the season is definitely over now after a miserable performance against the Titans. It's amazing to see the difference from 1 week with a 40-point lead after being shut out the next. Is Washington really that bad, or do you think it was some other factor that the Giants couldn't do anything right? I think, Jeff, it was a combination of the two. Washington obviously is banged up. They had some struggles, but, you know, they also had a pretty good defense. I mean, the fact that the Giants were able to do what they were able to do against that defense is certainly, you know, something we shouldn't dismiss. Now, with that said, I think Tennessee, when they came into this game, they had, you know, they had a better plan. And I wrote about this for The Athletic, but one of the things, you know, they did, and we all know the basic game plan was to stop Barkley and to force Eli Manning to beat them through the air. And I have a statistic, actually, about Eli Manning and the Giants' one loss record when Manning is asked to throw a certain number of times versus a higher number of times. So you might want to check that out. But to answer your question about the difference, I think on offense, the Giants' offensive line was confused by some of what Tennessee did. I spoke with one offensive lineman after the game, and I said to him flat out, did Tennessee do a little bit more pre-snap motion? Did they run more twists and stunts to fool you guys? And the answer I got was, yeah, they did a little bit of that, but, you know, the Giants adjusted, which they did. If you look at how the game trended out, they did adjust to that. But by then it was too late. So it was just a matter of, it wasn't the Giants' day, you know. And then, you know, like going back to a question that I was asked earlier in this segment, when you don't have a receiver that can get open the way Odell Beckham Jr. can, when you have guys dropping balls, and I think there were something like, I want to say, was it 6 or 12? Now I'm getting my numbers mixed up. I know I saw 6 and 12 when I was looking up missed tackles and drop balls. I think it was 6 drops and 12 missed tackles. But anyway, when you have that, and then you have a quarterback who's trying to fit balls into tight windows, and you don't have a running game, and then on the other side, you have defensive players who are missing tackles. You have guys that aren't containing. You got guys that are trying to tackle Derrick Henry with, you know, an arm tackle. All that adds up. And, you know, it came back. It bit the Giants. And let's face it, the Titans wanted it more, and they got it. So good for them. And as for the Giants, they're just going to play out this string and go back to the drawing board this offseason. All right, Giant fans, you're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traynor. This is a Twitter Tuesday. We're going to take a short break, come back, and I'm going to get to the Twitter questions. So stay with us. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants. You are with Patricia Traynor, and we are in the middle of a Twitter Tuesday. Thanks to everyone who sent in questions. And don't forget, if you want to send in questions, you can email them to me at LockedOnGiantsPodcast@gmail.com. Or you can tweet them to me at Patricia_Traina, T-R-A-I-N-A. And do make sure you tag them with the hashtag AskPTrain. This way I will find them when I go to do the shows. Okay, moving on with a few more questions in segment two. Thomas Purnell Jones wants to know, as it stands with regards to position upgrades, is the Giants' best approach to look at upcoming rookies or potential current veterans, and why? What are the benefits of either route? Thomas, that depends. Let me take the first part of your question, which is whether or not they should go for rookies or veterans. It really depends on the position. I would think with a quarterback, if your goal was to, you know, kind of win right away, you would want a veteran. Whereas maybe with a running back or even with a receiver, you might be able to get away with a rookie and have him perform at a high enough level. So it really depends. And then the other thing that depends on is who's available. So for example, if the veteran class, the free agent class for, let's say, free safety, let's say that's not a great class, you say to yourself, okay, well, what about the draft class? And you kind of have to weigh the benefits, the pros and the cons, as far as, you know, which guys have what you're looking for. So there's really no set formula nor one size fits all. Now, as far as the benefit of either route, obviously, if you're signing a veteran, you're going to spend a lot more money than you are if you're drafting a rookie. So I would say the biggest benefit is obviously cost control. So, you know, I think every team divides up their salary cap differently. Some teams, you know, try not to be too top heavy in the at a certain position, but, you know, they can't help it. There just needs to be a kind of a balance between, you know, the salary cap, rookies versus veterans, and who you're paying the big contracts to and whatnot. And, you know, that's an interesting exercise. If you're interested in that, I would suggest hitting over the cap and just taking a look at how some of the teams put together their salary caps. Like, for example, the Patriots do a really good job of making sure they don't have too many huge contracts clogging up their cap. So that would be my suggestion if you're interested in that. So thank you for that question. Okay, next question is from Robbie Mac 87. Wants to know, are Eli truthers going to be the ones thinking that the legend kind of sort of could eke out one more season? Robbie, I think it's kind of a given. I mean, Pat Shurmur has said that he believes Eli still has football left in him. And, you know, I don't know what you mean by these Eli truthers. Look, I know people out there think that I am an Eli homer, an Eli apologist, and that's not exactly true. And I'll tell you why it's not true. I have said that Eli needs to play better. In my article that I put out on The Athletic, I wrote a segment about how Eli forced some of his decisions, you know, work with that gunslinger mentality that got him into trouble. All right. Now, with that said, I also look at the big picture. All right. Now, whether you guys like it or not, a quarterback cannot function if his offensive line does not block. A quarterback is not going to have very good numbers if his receivers are dropping six or more passes a game. right? A quarterback is probably not going to win if he does not have a running game or a balanced offense or a system that fits what he does well. All right, these are all elements that have worked against Eli Manning in the past, right? But again, I can't stress this enough. I have said before and will say it again and again and again. Eli needs to do his part by not being reckless with the ball, not trying to fit the ball into tight windows the way he tends to do, and just, you know, being smart with his decisions. And just some of the decisions he's made this year have been, you know, head scratchers. So I just don't get the, you know, the all in on being an Eli hater versus being an Eli supporter. You have to look at it objectively. And I try to do that. And for those of you who don't, you know, don't believe me or don't see me as doing that, I don't know what else to tell you, but that's just how it is. I mean, I do try to look at it objectively, and not just with the quarterback, but with any position. So hopefully over time I can convince you guys who don't believe me. And if I can't, then I've tried. Okay. Next question comes from, let's see, the Patels USA. Why is the coach so inconsistent with the game plan? We go and get a win from a strong team and then get our behinds handed to us by an above average team. Can we say that Coach Shermer's not looking good at head coach spot and try to pursue Mike McCarthy? I don't think the Giants are going to fire Pat Shermer after one season. I certainly don't think Mike McCarthy is in the plans after just one season. You got to stick with the coaching staff. I mean, look, the results haven't been there. I understand that. But if you keep changing coaching staffs, now you got to start from scratch, have the players learn systems all over again. You don't have an opportunity for continuity or to build on the good things that you started that actually came out of this year. So I don't think the Giants are going to make a coaching change after one season. Regarding why he's inconsistent, or what you might be perceiving to be inconsistent, it depends on the opponent. I mean, look, I'll be the first to admit, I don't always agree with what the Giants do game planning. I understand they get paid the big bucks and they spend a heck of a lot more time breaking down film and doing analysis and working with analytics and all that good stuff than I do. But, you know, I just think that, you know, they try and do what's best for the circumstances. And I don't know how well they adjust necessarily to changes or unexpected circumstances. But I wouldn't say that they're inconsistent. It's again, it's more or less sticking with, you know, what works, what they think is going to work best against that opponent. Now, I assume you might be thinking of why did they give up on the run? And, you know, I think, you know, against the Titans, the problem there was they couldn't run the ball. The Titans were doing a lot of pre-snap motion with guys, and some of that motion were things that, you know, one Giant offensive lineman told me that they didn't even realize was going to come. You know, they adjusted to it once they figured it out. But there's always a wrinkle or two that an opponent throws into a game that can basically pin a team's ears back. And I think that's what happened with the Giants. So in closing, I just don't think it was a matter of, you know, the Giants being inconsistent. It's a matter of finding the right ways to win. And if, you know, door A doesn't work, you go on to door B and you hope for the best. I mean, you have to have multiple plans in place in case, you know, a player gets injured or, you know, just something unexpected happens. And I think that's what the Giants have tried to do, sometimes successfully and sometimes not so successfully. And P.S., I wouldn't exactly call the Titans an above average team. They're a very good team. They're in the playoff hunt. You know, are they on the same level as the Bears? Maybe not quite. But the bottom line is they're all in the playoff hunt and the Giants are not, thanks to the loss. So let's give the Titans their due. All right. You are listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina. It is a Twitter Tuesday. We're going to take our final break and come back and wrap up with more of your questions. So stay with us. Welcome back, Giant fans, to segment 3 of Locked On Giants Twitter Tuesday. Answers to your questions. And we have just a few more. Coming from Twitter followers, let's kick it off with Fishy Fisheye, who wants to know, and I think he's joking here, I suppose, but what are the percentage chance Eli retires? I would say probably 1%. And I say 1% because there always is that chance that he will call it quits. But I think as long as Eli is healthy, I think as long as he believes that the team is headed in the right direction, he will be back to honor the end of his contract. So, sorry, I know you're apparently looking for him to retire, but I don't think you're going to get your wish. All right, another, tongue-in-cheek question here from Selhorn wants to know, why do I continue to subject myself to watching Giant games? Why not? I mean, heck, just think of all you would be missing, all these great discussions, all these great debates, my tweets. Hopefully you're following my tweets. I think you are if you're writing questions. I mean, look, guys, there are, you know, let's keep it in perspective here. I know it's been a rough season for everybody, for Giant fans. It hasn't turned out the way all of us hoped, but it's just football. I mean, life goes on, and there are more important things, I think, to be concerned about than, you know, a football team. And I don't mean that to sound, you know, condescending or anything like that. It's just, it's perspective, you know. Just, I would say, hopefully most of you, if not all of you out there, have your health. You have, you know, people who love you, you have jobs, you have friends. That stuff is way more important than a football game or a football team. That stuff you can't control, and it's there for your entertainment. You know, it's like a bad movie. If you go to a bad movie and you don't like it, you walk out. I mean, it's the same thing with a football game. I mean, you guys can turn off the TV or you can walk out of the stadium if you don't like what you're seeing, unlike those of us who have to sit there and cover it and report on it. So, perspectives, guys. All right, getting into some other questions. Mr. Daldi wants to know, this is a good one. Eli was floating past his high versus Tennessee. Just the weather? Is he nursing an injury from his 9,000 plus sacks? Or is something wrong with his mechanics this year? That's a real good question, Mr. Daldi. I hadn't really thought of it, if he's nursing an injury. I'm certain that Eli is sore. I mean, you can't take the beating that he has taken in the first half of the season and throughout and not be sore to a degree. I do know that Eli has a pretty good regimen as far as, you know, taking care of his body and rehabbing and whatnot from, a day of throwing. But I don't know. You know what? I'll tell you what. I will look at that over the off season. I'm going to do some film breakdown, in-depth studies of certain players. And I'm going to try and come to some sort of conclusion and analysis as to, you know, what went right, what went wrong. And I'm not sure where I'm going to place that yet, but it is something I'm going to, you know, look to write up, and that will be certainly something I look into. So thank you for that idea. And P.S. guys, you know, sometimes your questions and suggestions, you know, they do send me in the right direction as far as writing what you want to read. So don't ever be afraid to make a suggestion on something you want to see, because you guys are the ones I write for and the ones I do this podcast for. Okay, let's see. Final question, looks like, comes from Kelly Fisher, who wants to know, why wouldn't the Giants at least give Kyle LaLeta a game to see if he can play? If we don't play him at all, we've wasted two picks on quarterbacks. Okay, Kelly, you know, the Giants gave LaLeta five pass attempts, I should say, against Washington. And he proved that he wasn't ready. I mean, if you break down each snap, or I should say each pass, the decision-making, you know, the velocity of the throws, just everything about each one was just not there. And what Pat Shurmur has said all along, and this is something I try to stress to you guys, for a player to get on the field, for a player to get a game day uniform, he has to accomplish a few things. Number one, he has to put in the time into his craft. You have to do the little things, whether it's watching extra film, doing extra weights, you know, running extra laps, throwing extra routes with a receiver. The little things makes a difference. And if you're going in, and P.S., I'm not saying, you know, this is the case. This is just an overview. But if you're going in and you're doing the minimum, you're not, you know, you're not going to get by on that. You have to go in and show a commitment to doing everything within your power to learn and perfect your craft. Number two, the coaches have meetings in which they have the players in the classroom. If the players are demonstrating that they don't have a grasp of what's going on, that they're not familiar with what's being taught, that they can't answer the quizzes that are being given to them by their coaching staff, that means chances are they're not going to be able to execute what the game plan is calling for on the practice field. And that is a problem. So, you know, little things like that that go on behind the scenes can affect whether or not a player gets a game day uniform or gets on the field. And then the last thought I have on Loletta, and again, I just want to, again, stress, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes because obviously I'm not there in the classrooms. And all I can tell you is, you know, when I ask questions of players and coaches, I can only tell you what they tell me. And I don't think anybody's going to flat out come out on the record and say that, you know, any teammate is not doing what they're supposed to or vice versa. But the last thing I would take into consideration is you have to earn your keep. Kyle Loletta is what, a fourth round draft pick? And I'm not saying his arrest was, you know, the problem. But what came out of that arrest is the fact that Loletta was supposed to be at work at 8 o'clock in the morning, and yet his traffic incident took place, according to the police report, around 8 o'clock. Quarterbacks around the league are generally the first ones in the building because there's just so much detail, so much that they need to do. Now, here's the thing, I don't know Loletta's attendance, but if you're late once, you know, what are the odds that you're late again? And again, and again. So I guess my point is that there are things that we don't know that go on behind the scenes that could be factoring into the decision whether or not to give him a game day uniform. And then finally, you know, there's what Shermer has always said. Loletta is coming from a smaller program. He has a deeper learning curve. So all the more reason why you want to see this kid do everything possible to make sure that he has, you know, that he's dotting his I's and crossing his T's. Because if he's not, he's not going to get in there. And you know what? I thought it was very telling, quite honestly, that he was not given a game day uniform, that he was demoted. Now, I know Pat Shermer didn't want to call it a demotion, but, you know, let's call it for what it is. When you go from being number two and you're dropped down to number three and you're not given a game day uniform, that's a demotion. And there's a red flag or two in there as to what's going on. What that is, I couldn't tell you. Pat Shermer obviously wouldn't, you know, reveal that. But it just, based on what I know of the game and what quarterbacks do to get ready and all that stuff, you got to wonder what's going on. It is, you know, are the guys working?